This podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast. This is Jimmy Gill. It's great to be joined by Rutgers baseball head coach Steve Owens for his weekly update. The Scarlet Knights won their most recent series the hard way at Northwestern after dropping the opener 6-5 in 12 innings. The Scarlet Knights came back for an 8-4 win on Saturday before winning the rubber game in extra innings 6-5 on Sunday. So the Scarlet Knights are now 11-9. 11 wins are the most the team has ever had in Big Ten play. So, Coach, just first of all, what were your general takeaways from this series?
It was a tough series. They're a very good offensive team with a lot of power hitters, especially at the top of the lineup. They stretch pretty far into the lineup, and physical kids, experienced, a lot of returners. So we knew it was going to be a tough weekend, and it was. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with the outcome.
Yeah. So first, looking at the Friday game, fell behind 4-1. Harry Rutkowski, had a pretty good outing. What'd you think of him?
I thought Harry was good. Friday, the wind was blowing out. Saturday and Sunday, it was different. Their park is pretty big in the middle of the field, but it's relatively small in the corners, and they're built on power hitting. As we are. So it was kind of, it was a slugfest. Harry didn't walk. He only had one walk, but I think he gave up a few home runs, but they were all solo home runs. He pitched deep into the game. I thought he was good, he made a couple mistakes, but again, these are good hitters, and you're not gonna throw shutouts in this conference against good hitting teams. So, I thought Harry was fine. We kind of squandered some scoring opportunities. We did a pretty good job, I thought, offensively of getting things going, and again didn't capitalize in some scoring opportunities. But then late in the game, I think Lasko and Kevin Welsh both hit two-run home runs and gave us the lead, with three outs to get. And we were unable to keep that. And then we wound up playing 12 innings and lost on a home run, which was, pretty disheartening. But, again, it was a good ball game. I felt it was, not too much different than the way I thought it was going to be. Pretty offensive, some balls going over the fence I thought our guys did a pretty solid job. Obviously, we'd like to give up a few less home runs, but this is a team that hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah, so you mentioned the team fell behind 4-1 in the eighth inning. Ryan Lasko, two-run homer in the eighth, and then Kevin Welsh, his first home run of the season in the ninth. So, this has just been a theme all season as far as the team coming back, wouldn't you say, the resiliency, making these comebacks?
Yeah, our kids are we're preaching that we want to be tough. We want to play 27 outs. It's not over. The game is not over until you get the last out. And things didn't go great for us throughout that game. But then, in the ninth with three outs to get, we were winning the ball game. So more and more our players are doing this, and we've won, handily, and we've won by coming from behind. We've won in close games. We've won in, games that are three or four run games. So we've won in a lot of different ways. We've lost in a lot of different ways, but they're playing complete games. And I was pleased with that on Friday. Told them, hey, say we played a tough game, didn't go our way, challenged them to come back out and win the next day so that we have a chance on Sunday to win a series. And they responded quite well.
Yeah, you mentioned after the game it was a tough emotional loss there on Friday, but then the team bounced back, scored in each of the first four innings on Saturday, built up a lead 5-4 over Northwestern. Ben Wareski gave up a couple runs early, but then was able to settle in.
He gave up four, to be exact, two-run homers, which was a little disheartening after we came out and scored in the first and scored in the second with really good, approach against who I think is their best arm, Tyler or Ubestein. He was very good. But we did a good job. We scored in the first, second, third, and fourth. And then finally we put the game away a little bit in the seventh with an inning that we got helped out by some walks and some errors, but got had a couple hits mixed in there too. And I thought we had a good offensive approach. You know, again, you always worry as a coach how your team will respond to adversity. And, you know, I think, you know, losing the lead in the ninth and then getting walked off on in the 12th is about as much adversity as you can face in a baseball game. And to come back and win 8-4 the next day is a really good sign that our players, you know, have a high care level and that they're getting better in their compete level, you know, as we go on.
So looking back even more, fourth inning, there's a lot of scoring early. The go-ahead run ended up being a pretty strange play. It was grounder to third. Brito eluded the tag, and then Nyster sort of snuck in there to score with attention being at first base. Just Mike Nyster, he actually leads the Big Ten in on-base percentage. What have you seen from him this year in his heads-up base running as well on that play?
Yeah, he did it. Mike's done a good job. He's been pretty consistent. You know, we'd like some more RBIs from him with runners in scoring position, but he's getting his hits and he's getting on base at the high level. And, you know, he doesn't play every day, but he's playing almost every day. And you know, he's a good runner. He's a smart baseball player. And that was a heads up smart play. He took advantage of getting off the base when he saw that the throw was errant and that the first baseman was chasing Brito to try to tag him. And while the first baseman was, you know, looking and waiting for an umpire's call and the decision and all the stuff that was going on over there, he was scoring. So that was a big, you know, heads up play. And, you know, we preach to the guys to always know where the ball is and what's going on, you know, regardless of where you are on the field. And Mike did a good job there and got us a free run.
Yeah, so from there, Wareski and the bullpen were able to shut it down. And then, as you mentioned, three insurance runs in the seventh. You also said after the game that it's really tough to add and tackle on there. Why would you say so?
We had the game, you know, in the middle of the game, it was pretty comfortable. Like we were in command of the game. But then, you know, to score late and then to, you know, we challenge the guys whenever you have a lead. Don't coast. Like, you have to work even harder to expand the lead there. And because if you can expand a lead late on a team, it kind of takes some wins out of their sails and gives you an opportunity to have, you know, a little bit more freedom and a little less anxiety going into the later innings.
Yeah, so that ended up being Kyle Muller got the four-out save there. And then moving to the Sunday game, it was the rubber game between Rutgers and Northwestern. It was a pitching matchup between Justin Sinibaldi and Quinn Lavelle. So Justin thrown out there for his first college start, 5 shutout innings.
Justin looked like a senior. He's a big kid anyway. The kid's grown, you know, he's grown like a leaf still. He's probably 6'5". Hasn't pitched since Maryland, where he pitched pretty effectively. And we've been keeping him prepared in the middle of the week with some bullpens and some live outings. And, you know, Teller was down this weekend. Justin stepped in. Literally, all I told him was he was starting and didn't really have any other conversations with him. Didn't try to make a big deal out of it. And he pitched awesome. He was ahead of hitters. He had good velocity, command, good spin. He, you know, of all the pitching that went on the entire weekend, he had the weakest contact against a really good hitting team. So that tells you the kind of stuff the kid's got. So it was exciting. You know, he threw 5 scoreless innings. We had, you know, a 4-0 lead. You know, I didn't put him back out in the 6th, not because he wasn't pitching, you know, outstanding, but because, you know, he's not built up right now. You know, we had him built up as a starter at the beginning of the year, and then he's only pitched, I think, at the most couple innings. So he was up in the 70 pitch count. And, you know, the health of our players is a major concern, especially a young up and coming, you know, kid that's going to be a great big part of our success going forward. So we took him out because it was the right thing for Justin Sinibaldi, even though we would like to have kept him out there pitching more. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of him, you know, in the coming weekend and the weeks to come. So we had to hand it over to the bullpen and then, you know, it was time for him to sit down and give it to the bullpen. And, you know, sometimes that's great and sometimes it's not great. And, you know, Parker did a good job keeping the game where it was, and then it kind of fell apart a little bit on us late.
Yeah, so last weekend against Penn State, the bullpen did a really good job. I think it was 13 innings with only one run, some runs given up this week. How would you currently assess the state of the relief corps?
We use several relievers two or three times. We're not really a matchup team, you know, as far as having a pure right-on-right guys and left-on-left guys. Obviously, we know the statistics of the other teams, so that plays a factor into the decision-making. But we don't have a closer. You know, we have five guys, I think, with saves. We have a bullpen. We use them how we see fit to try to get outs and try to win games or keep us in games, you know. You know, we need a little bit more length out of certain guys in the bullpen. They seem to get to like a, you know, 1 2/3 or two inning limit. And sometimes we need them to go three, or they're throwing a clean inning and we need, you know, 1 2/3 out of them. So there's a couple guys we need some more innings out of. We throw strikes. You know, even our starting pitchers and our relievers, we don't walk guys. We're leading the conference in you know, the least amount of walks. But you know, we've given up some home runs. We need to get better out of the bullpen situationally. With once we get two strikes on hitters, we got to put these guys away, and we got to have weak contact. We got to have balls off the hands. We got to have chases. We got to have pop-ups. We got to have balls off the end of the bat. Okay. We can't be having barreled up balls and two strike counts. And that's been most of our issues. So it hasn't been free passes and hit by batters, although some of them have been mixed in there a little bit. It's been, you know, just not just getting, you know, getting weak contact or a strikeout, you know, in the situation. So these guys are in there for short stints. You know, they can't give in and two strike counts. And especially when they get ahead of hitters, they got to really make a good pitch and put the hitter on his heels and make him chase. So we got to get better at that. And we will. But you know, I'm pretty pleased with our pitching. You know, we got a lot of guys contributing and you know, we've won with our starting pitching and we've won with our bullpen. And so that's a, you know, it's a good sign that there's more than one. If you get a bad start, you can win with the bullpen and vice versa.
You mentioned before Justin Sinibaldi as somebody with a bright future in this program. Also, we could say Ryan Lasko had a solo homer and then a two-run homer to right field, opposite field power. I didn't know that was part of his game.
Hey, Ryan Lasko's a stud. Like we said that early on. Like, you know, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. He's dynamic. He's very high strung. His energy level and excitement level is off the charts. But he's an athletic player, and when he's in a good place, you know, and playing even keeled, he's special, and he's done some stuff that, you know, I don't know if I've had another freshman, you know, do some of the stuff that he's done, both offensively against elite pitching, as well as out in the outfield. So we're very happy for him, you know, and he'll continue to work hard and get better for us. So, very exciting player.
And then also Jordan Sweeney. So after Northwestern tied the game with four in the ninth, Jordan Sweeney comes back, top of the 10th inning, solo home run. I mean, that was a huge hit in that game.
Yeah, that was the difference because, you know, when you lose the momentum like that, it knocks the wind right out of your sails. And to come back and hit a line drive home run right away just totally counteracted all the momentum that was given, earned or given to the other team. And then, you know, we were able to get the three outs and Nate did a really good job in that situation coming back for the second time on the weekend. And, you know, he got a jam shot and a strikeout and a pop fly and it was, you know, handshake and a ball game. So he did a good job with that. So, it was a tough weekend, like, you know, really tough, to lose the way we did on Friday. And then to come back and win on Saturday, I guess somewhat comfortable, although there's not really a comfortable lead against those hitters. And then, you know, to grind it out on Sunday when we had the game won and played nearly a perfect game for eight innings and then blew it and then came back and won it again. You know, again, we look for signs. we look for steps that we're, we're developing in, in culture, and we're developing our players' mindset and the feeling of confidence that they have as a ball club. And again, the compete level, we talk about that a lot. And so I think those are some good steps going forward. And anytime you can win a weekend on the road or at home in this conference, it's a great weekend. And, we'll try to correct the things we didn't do well, but we'll also celebrate what we did do well. I think especially me as a coach, like I have a hard time, even though I've been doing this for a long time, to celebrate some of the good things without looking at the bad. And sometimes I have to, correct myself and be able to look at something that happened good and just enjoy it for what it is, instead of always looking at what you can do better. I feel good about what the club did. They're working real hard, and they're, the coaches are working hard, and our support staff is working hard, and everybody's working hard, and we're doing the best we can. And we feel pretty good that, we're halfway through the season and we're in a really good spot in a conference-only schedule.
And one more guy I wanted to bring up for the weekend, Richie Schiekhofer, broke through for 9 hits. What have you seen from Richie as far as him and adjustments he's made?
Well, Richie's the type of player that you just leave alone, because he's got a natural instinct to play the game. He doesn't say a lot. He's not a boisterous kid. He makes mistakes, but then he does some great stuff in a lot of different stretches of games and seasons when you start piling them up. But he's been off to a pretty bad start by his standards. And a lot of that has to do with, some of the stuff that happened before the season. He was sick a couple times, and it really put him behind the eight ball at the start of the season. And he was weak and tired and not caught up and behind in repetition. So he got off to a bad start. And then, kind of another month went by, and he really hadn't been playing baseball like Richie Schiekhofer is capable of playing in any aspect. There was glimpses of really good stuff, but it wasn't enough, and we needed it. And Richie and I had a pretty stern talk before the weekend, before Friday. And I challenged him, to get it fixed, believe in himself. Let's right the ship here and get him back playing at a really high level. And, so we had a nice little talk, and I walked away, and the series started. And, at the end of the series, he had 9 hits, threw a guy out from right field, had 3 or 4 dirt ball reads, stole 2 or 3 bases, had some RBI singles with guys on base. The Richie Schiekhofer that we've grown accustomed to seeing, and that we do need to show up in our lineup every single day. And so I was pleased with what Richie did this weekend, and hopefully that's a jump start to get him back going, because this ball club needs him playing at an elite level every day.
So the Scarlet Knights currently 11-9 record, facing Iowa this weekend. They are 12-9. They're coming off a sweep of Minnesota at home. This will be a 4-game series at Baton Field. Does it change your approach just going in, or is it just an extra game on Saturday?
No, it doesn't change our approach. Our approach is one day at a time, one game at a time. It'll never, how many games we play doesn't really change. We're just, when there's a game to be won in front of you, you try to win it, and then you move on to the next day. It's a lot of baseball. They're on a tremendous roll. They've won 8 of their last 9 games. They have, one of the top pitchers in the country and in the conference, rolling out against Harry on Friday. We're going to line up our pitching. We haven't set the rotation yet, but we'll have that done as soon as we get back to practice and make sure guys are okay. And then we're just excited to be home again. Hopefully the weather cooperates and we get all the games in, and our parents get a chance to come and watch their sons play at home, and it turns out to be a good weekend. So we're excited about the opportunity. I think Iowa is a half a game in front of us. So we went into last weekend with Northwestern maybe a game in front of us, and we came out, in front of them on the end of the weekend, and we're hoping, for the same type results this weekend, and we'll lift and practice and get prepared and study. And then, you know, hopefully we have a good weekend and can keep building on the season.
So that series will start Friday at Baton Field at 2 p.m., then a doubleheader at 11 a.m. on Saturday, and then a noon Sunday finale. All games will be on Big Ten Network Plus. So, Coach, thanks for your time. Look forward to seeing you out there this week.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Talk to you next week.
And thanks for listening to another edition of the Inside Rutgers Athletics Podcast.